The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
The Torah tells us in Parashas Bishalach, Shmei Sud Gimel, from Posuk Dalet onwards. Actually, it's Shmei Sud Dalet. V'chizakti eslev parei v'radaf acharehem v'ikov de befarei v'chol cheloi v'yodu Mitzrayim ki ani Hashem. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu took Klal Yisrael out of Egypt, he said that Parish heart, well, I will harden his heart and he will pursue you. And it was told to Egypt, to the king of Egypt, that the nation has escaped. Vayeyofech levav parei vavov dov ela om vayemru, and their hearts turned and they said, what is this that we sent out to Israel? And he harnessed his chariot and he took his nation with him, and he took 600 of the choice chariots, and they pursued Israel. And they caught up to them on the sea. Ufare hikriv, and Parei came close. Vayisu v'nei Yisrael eseinehem v'nei Mitzrayim nesei achareihem. And the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and they saw that Egypt was pursuing them and coming after them. And actually, they were locked in because the sea was in front of them, and to the sides were the desert, the wilderness, and behind them was Paro's armies. Vayitzaku v'nei Yisrael al Hashem, and they called out, they cried out to Hashem. And Moshe told the people, "Al tirou, do not fear. Yishatz furu es Yeshuas Hashem. You shall see the Yeshuas, the salvations, the victories of Hashem, which He shall do to you today, for you today. And this that you see Egypt, no longer will you see them again. Hashem will fight for you, and you be silent." So Hashem told Moshe, "Horem es matcho." Lift up your hand, lift up the staff over the sea, and it shall split. And the children of Israel will go through the sea on the dry land. And Parai and his armies will follow you, and I will take honor from their downfall, from their destruction. And Moshe stretched out his hand on the sea. And Hashem moved the sea with a strong east wind the entire night. And it turned the sea into dry land, and the seas and the water split. And the children of Israel came into the sea on the dry land, and the waters were for them a wall from the right side and from the left side. And Egypt pursued them, all of the horses of Parei and all of his chariots and his captains, into the sea. And in the morning, HaKadosh Baruch Hu looked down and he removed the wheels from their chariots, and they couldn't drive them anymore. And Egypt said, "Anusa, we are the victims of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because Hashem is fighting on the behalf of Egypt." Then he told Moshe, "Neteyash yotcha la'ayom, stretch out your hand again on the sea, Vayeshuva Amayim al Mitzrayim, and the waters will return on Egypt. Al Richvay Val Peroshov, on the chariots and on his captains. And Moshe did this, and all the waters returned, and Egypt became panicked. They panicked and they drove right into the waters, and the waters covered them, covered Egypt, the chariots, all of the armies which came afterwards, Le Nishar Bohem Ad Echot, and none remained. And the children of Israel went through the sea and the dry land, and the waters were a wall for them to the right and to the left. And on that day Hashem saved Klal Yisrael from the hand of Egypt, and they saw the Egyptians dead on the shores of the sea. And then on this day they saw the great hand, as Hayot HaGdola Asher Osa Hashem B'Mitzrayim, the great hand which Hashem did to Egypt. By Yeruam es Hashem, and the people feared Hashem, by Aminu Hashem, and they believed Hashem, over Moshe Avdo, and in Moshe his servant. The Mechilta and goes to great length. And another also Midrashe Chazal. And a great deal of this is brought in the Gvuras Hashem, the Maral and Perek Mem, and Mem Aleph, where they ask the question, what was Yisrael's merit that the sea should split in front of them? They bring many different opinions on this. And we'll mention some of them. First one, Remeir Eimer. Excuse me. Remeir says, Omalei HaKadosh Baruch Hu La'odim Yechidi Osisi Yam Yaboshu Shenemar Yikovu Amayim V'Seiroya Ayaboshu La'adas Kedeshi Malachas Kama V'Kama. Remeir says that the Almighty said that for the first man I made the sea into dry land. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, so he created the waters, and the waters covered all of the land. And then he said, Yikove Hamayim V'Seiroya Ayaboshu, let the waters gather up all into one place in order that the dry land should appear and man will have a place to live. So if I did this for Odom Yechidi, for a single person, Ladas Kedoshi Malachas Kama V'Kama, how much more so should I do this for the Eda HaKodesh, for my holy community, Klal Yisrael? So therefore, it was B'Shus Yisrael Adas Kedoshim. It was the Shus of Yisrael that they are the sanctified community of HaKodesh Baruch Hu. Rebanoi Eimer. Rebanoi says a different reason. B'Shvil Avraham Ani Kerei Hayom. It was in the Shus of Avraham that the seas, that the waters split. Why? Shnema vayevake atzi ola. When Abraham was instructed by Hashem, take your son Yitzchok and take him to Har Moriah, and there offer him as a sacrifice to me. So it states, Vayashkim Avraham Babaker. Avraham rose up early the next morning to make preparations. Vayvakeh Atzi Ola. And he started to break, to chop wood for the sacrifice. Says the words, Vayvakeh. And here also it says, Vayboku Hamayim. That the water split. Bikua means to break, to split. So we see there it states that Avraham broke the logs, the wood. And here it states that the waters were broken. Mikan, from here we learn that Biskus Avraham, through the merit of Avraham, the waters were split. Shimon HaTemoni says another reason. Biskus HaMila Nifka Hayom. It was the merit of the Bris Mila. And he brings a source for it. Chachomim Aimrim. The Chachomim say another reason. Bishvil Shmei Osu Imohem. It was in the schus of my great name, the Almighty says, that the water split. Shenema Lemani Eser, I shall do it for my sake. So it was the schus of the great name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shemaya Emer. Shemaya says, Bishvila Amuna Sheamin Avraham. It was a different reason. Because of the great faith that Avraham had in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When Hashem came to Avraham and he told him that I'm going to give you seed and your nation will be a blessed nation. And they will be as many as the stars and the sands of the sea. It states, Vehemim Bashem, Vayach Shveo Leitstoko. Avraham believed. So it was in the schus of Emuna, of belief in Hashem, trust in Hashem. Avtalion says, it was in the schus, the merit of Emuna, of trusting in Hashem. But it was the Emuna of the people. As it states, Vayamein Ha'om, when Moshe came to Klal Yisrael, and Hashem said, tell them that I'm going to come and take you out of here. Moshe said, Heim lo yaminu bi, they won't believe me. Kodesh Baruch Hu said, they will. They're maminim b'nei maminim. They're the sons of ancestors that believed. And it states, Vayamein Ha'om, they did believe. Acherim Aimrim, others also say, yes, it was in the schus of Emuna, but in the Emuna she'ekra lehem hayom, in the Emuna that I would split the sea for them. She'em le'omru le'meisha. They didn't say to Meisha, he'ach neitzei lamidbor ve'in v'yodeinu michya le'derech. How can we follow you out of Egypt into the desert? At least in Egypt here we have what to eat every day and what to drink. If we go into the desert, we have nothing to eat or drink. They didn't say that, but they followed and they went. And this is what it states in the Kabbalah, in the Nach. Holeich v'karosa ba'ozne Yerushalayim. Go and call out to the ears of Yerushalayim. Zachati lo chesed nuraich. Avos klulasayich. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I always will remember the great kindliness and trusting of your youth. Your great love of your youth. Lechtech acharai bamidbor, that you went after me in a desert, be'eretz leizorua, a land which was not planted. And because of this, Kodesh Yisrael Hashem reishis tvuosai. Therefore I have chosen Klal Yisrael. So, Acherim say, it was also Bishkus Emuna. Shimon Ish Kitura Naimer Bishkus Atzmei Sheisef Nikrayam. Another opinion. It was in the Shkus of Yosef. Because at the beginning of Parshas Bishalach, as soon as they went out, the Torah tells us, Vayikach Moshe es atzmei sheisef imoy. Moshe took the remains of Yosef with him, even though Yosef had died a number of generations before. כי השביה השביעס בני ישראל למור פקוד יפקד אליהם אסכם ועליסם אס עצמי סמיסה איתכם. Joseph had made them take an oath that when they go out, they must not leave him behind, but they must take his remains with them. Actually, Egypt knew this, and therefore they had concealed the casket of Moshe. They concealed it at the bottom of the Nile, the casket of Joseph. And they concealed it at the bottom of the Nile River. And that night, on Little Pesach, Moshe was searching for it. And he found it. And when they went out, the casket of Yosef was in front. And it states, Vayar Hayom Vayonos. The sea gazed and ran away, ran back. Maro Hayom Vayonos. What did the sea see that made it run back? Here it states Vayonos, and by Yosef it states Vayonos. In the episode of Ashes Fotifar, the wife of his master, who tried to entice him to Avera, there it states four times in the Pasuk, Vayonos Achutza, Yosef ran out. So we see that there's a link between the two. The sea looked, and it saw the casket of Yosef coming, and it ran, it split. Mikan, Shibeshus Yosef, it was through the merit of Yosef. Rabbi Yechanan Eimer Mishum, Abi Yesi Amachuni, Beshus Moshe, it was the Shus of Moshe, the merit of Moshe. Hashem said, Kfar Kosafti Beteirosi Bechol Beisi Nemon. Hashem said, I have already written in my Torah that there was no one that I could trust like I could trust Moshe. He was my most trusted servant in my entire household, and therefore I entrust him with the sea. Hayom Bishusi Vani Asisi Esko Gizbor Olov. The sea is mine and I give it to you to do what you want, and therefore it was Bishus Moshe. So these are a number of reasons which are given in these sages as to why and in what schus, what merit did the sea split. Excuse me. Now there's a difficulty here. Why are the sages searching for so many reasons as to why the sea was split? We do not find this by the other miracles that took place in the Exodus, and there were many. There were the Eser Makis, the 10 plagues, the Makis Becheris, the 10th one, which was the greatest, the smiting of the firstborn. There were all of the miracles, the Asis, the signs which Moshe and Aaron showed Paray. And in general, it was a whole chapter of miracles. Even the going out of Egypt was an enormous miracle. So why is it here, when it comes to the splitting of the sea, the Chazal, the sages, are looking for merit, and they list so many of them? If we understand this, it'll give us an insight as to what was the Kriyas Yamsu, the splitting of the sea. And the Maral writes as follows. He says, firstly, till now there was no Shinui Hateva, there was no miracle of physical nature on behalf of Yisrael. It was all to bring down Egypt, all of the Makkahs, the plagues and so forth. This was the first one that was done in order to save Klal Yisrael. But more than that, Till now, everything that the Almighty did was a beetle proti of the Teva. It was a destruction of a specific segment of physical nature. For example, the Makais turning dam, turning the river into blood, the frogs, the lice, the mixture of wild animals, whatever, the disease of the animals. This was all a phenomena in a specific aspect of physical nature. The shechin, the borod, the boils, or the hail, or the locusts, or the darkness, and even the makas becheiros, the smiting of the firstborn. And even the destruction of Mitzrayim, of Egypt, also. That was an enormous miracle and an enormous devastation. Egypt was the mightiest empire in the world, and through Yosef it had become the wealthiest empire in the world. It was Malachi called Kesef Sheva Olam. They had gathered in all of the money of the world, all of the silver, the Gemara tells us. Nevertheless, they were one nation of the 70 nations of the world. So till now, everything was a beetle protis, a devastation from a specific aspect of physical nature. However, when it came to the splitting of the sea, here we were not splitting a river, like for example by the Nile. We were not smiting a river, and we were not smiting water. We were smiting the sea, an ocean. And the Chazal tell us that even though when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, it says, "Vayikro Yamim," he called the waters oceans. But nevertheless, "Kol HaYamim Chashuvim Ke'echod." All of the waters, all of the oceans, all of the seas are considered one, because the waters were Mechases Ha'oretz. At the creation of the world, the waters covered the entire earth. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, pull yourself back a bit, in order, say Roy Ayabosha, that land should be seen. So all of the oceans and the seas are basically one unit and one creation. And it's a Briya Chashuva Me'od. It is a very important creation, all encompassing. As it states in the Torah, Sheshish Yomim Osa Hashem Es Hashomayim V'yeso Oretz V'es Hayom V'es Kol Asher Bo. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created in 6 days the heavens, the earth, and the sea. The heavens, we understand why it's itemized, because the heavens are not a specific individual small part of the creation. Hashemayim v'ha'oretz, the earth, we understand why it's specified. You can't say that the earth is a small specific part of creation. But it states as Hashomayim v'Hashoretz v'Hayom, the sea. So we see that the sea, the ocean, is a bria, is a creation, which is similar and all-encompassing like the heavens and like the earth. And so does it say in Tehillim, Tzarekei asher le hayom v'hu aso v'yabeshish yodov yotzoru. To HaKadosh Baruch Hu belongs the sea and the dry land. We see that the sea is equated with the land. So we're not speaking here, like before, of merely changing or breaking a individual specific aspect of creation. Like, for example, the Nile River. But rather, we're speaking of changing and breaking one of the basics of all of creation. It's for this reason that the Chazal Darshan, in the psukim that we read from Parshas Bishalach, it states, Vayiboku Hamayim, the waters split. So the Chazal ask, Leinemar Vayiboku Hayam, doesn't say that the sea split. Vayiboku Hamayim, the water split. Mikan, Shiboka Kol Mayim Shebeolam. From here, the Chazal say that when the sea, the Red Sea, was split, all of the waters in the world also were split with it. And why is this? Why? That didn't happen when the Nile was struck. The Nile turned to blood, but not other waters outside of Egypt. The answer is because here we're dealing with an ocean. And the ocean is the source of all waters of the world. Kol anacholim holchim al ha-yam. All of the rivers flow into the sea. Va-yam inena mole. And the sea is never full because it feeds it back. And therefore, if the sea was smitten, all of the waters together in the world were smitten with it. And from here we understand another Chazal. In Tehillim we say, Hayom rov ayonos hayardein yisayf le'ochor. The sea gazed at Klal Yisrael coming, and it moved back. Hayardein and the Jordan turned and ran back. Now, the sages asked, this is in Medrash Shochotei, Vantihilim Kuf Yudalad. This is what we say in Halal. Im Hayom Yonos Loma Yosef Hayade? If the sea split, but what does this have to do with the Jordan River? This took place a long distance from the Jordan River. Elekivin Shaloka Givirta Shu Hayom Shivchaloka Imo. But since the sea was smitten, and the sea is the mistress, so therefore her maidservant, which is the river, was smitten together with her. So we see that we're not speaking here of a small individual change in nature, but in the entire creation of water. Now, sages tell us when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, he created the physical world with four physical elements, four gigantic physical elements. With Ofor, this was with earth, with Mayim, with water, with Esh, with fire, and Ruach with air. And everything that is in physical nature is balanced and is a mixture of these Dalet Sodas, Yesodas, of these four foundations. And these are the four all-encompassing foundations of physical nature. So what we're speaking here is not of a beetle, hateva protis, not of destroying or changing physical nature from a certain narrow perspective, but one of the dynamic forces in the creation of the world and in the motivation of the world was changed. This is what the Kriyas Yamsuf was. It's for this reason that when Moshe and Aaron executed the 10 plagues, the wise and the sorcerers of Parai said, Etzpe Elohim, it is the finger of Hashem. But on the sea, in the psukim that we read, it states that they saw the Yad Chazoka, the hand of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because till now, we were speaking of the finger of Hashem. What is the difference between a finger and a hand? A finger is one aspect of the hand. Well, the hand, this unifies all of the fingers together into a total entity. Till now, HaKadosh Baruch Hu had demonstrated his powers over one perspective of the creation. And the Chachmei, the wise of Parai, saw this. They said, Etzpe Elohim, it's the finger of Hashem. But on the sea, it states, Vayar, they saw Es Hayod HaGdola, the great hand of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because this was all-encompassing. This was the beetle, the destruction of the physical nature in one of its all-encompassing forces. It's for this reason also. The Gemara in Baruchas tells us in the first perek that Hakol Maidim, everybody agrees that the Geula, the redemption, came at night. Bahayetzia and the Exodus was the next morning. It was on Lil Tesvov, the night of the 15th of Nishan, Bechatzei Salayla at midnight, when Parai woke up, because Ein Bayis Ein Shom Meis, there was not a house that there wasn't a dead Egyptian in it. And he ran through the streets, and he looked for Meisha. When he found him, he said, go, you're free. So the Geula started at 12 o'clock at night, Pesach night. The Yetziah, though, Kodesh Baruch Hu said, you're not to leave until the morning. So the Exodus was only in the morning. But the Kriyas Yamsuf, splitting of the sea, was only 7 days later. Because in the beginning, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was demonstrating a Geula Protis, a redemption from one aspect. He had executed the Ten Makkos. He had freed them from Egypt, which was one of the nations of the world. But the culmination and the ultimate high point of the Exodus would be when HaKadosh Baruch Hu would bring Klal Yisrael not only to free themselves from the Egyptians, but to free themselves even from the physical nature of the world. Not only to rule over the Egyptians, but to rule over Kol Mayim Sheba'olam, all of the waters of the sea, the waters of the world. And this is not, as we said, something of an individual nature. This is something of a general all-encompassing. And therefore, it took 7 days to reach this. Just like we find in the creation of the world, in the creation of nature, HaKadosh Baruch Hu every day created another aspect of nature. But it was only after 7 days that there was a total entity. And it's for this reason that we celebrate Pesach 7 days. According to the Torah, 7 days. In Chutz Lo'aretz, outside of Eretz Yisrael, we add a day, 8 days, but otherwise 7 days. Because for 7 days, Yisrael were experiencing Geula and Cherus, redemption and freedom, from the time that they, Parai, gave up, forfeited, and gave up his dominion over them, and until the time they rose to go through the sea on the seventh day. If if we go into this even a little deeper, he writes that there's a great equation between Egypt and between the waters of the world. Why? The waters of the world, this is physical. This is from the basic physical element in the construction of the entire physical universe. The Egyptians, they were made up of people. People are made up both from the physical world and the spiritual world. And of course, Baruch Hu created man. It states he created them ofer min adoma, from the dust of the earth. And vayipach bapav nishmas chayim, and he gave him a soul from above. So the waters are chemer, the waters are physical. Man is a mixture of physical and spiritual. But Egypt excelled in becoming and in sinking into becoming a physical, animalistic man. Egypt were known for their toevos, their abominations. Like HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, I am taking you out of Egypt into Eretz Yisrael. And that I should free you and separate you, mikol te'avas Mitzrayim, from all of the great abominations of Egypt. And therefore, they were shakua. They had sunk deep into the physical world, into the world of promiscuity, into the world of shfichas domim, of bloodshed, of life sacrifices, of kishuv, of sorcery. It was the land of sorcery. Paray laughed when Moshe and Aaron came. He says, you're bringing sorcery to our land. He says, it's like bringing tevin. It's like bringing grain to a land which produces grain. Like bringing coals to Newcastle, he told him. Our land, we teach sorcery to the world. And this is why the Novi, the prophet, said on the Egyptians, they were not men. This is very important for us to realize today, because we always speak about how the old days, a few hundred years ago, 500 years ago, 700 years ago, this was the Dark Ages. Today, we are enlightened. We have jet aircraft. We have rockets going to the moon. We have computer chips. We are enlightened. The Novi, the prophet, said on Egypt, who were also enlightened. They were, in modern language, they would be considered from the most highly developed civilizations. The pyramids are still standing. Most things we construct today couldn't stand for 100 years, let alone 1,000 years or thousands of years. They knew how to embalm the dead and keep them intact for thousands of years, something we can't do. So they were a highly sophisticated, civilized civilization. Yet the prophet said, they're not people, they are animals. Bisorim besar chamorim. Their flesh is the flesh of donkeys. He called them donkeys. What our archaeologists of today and what many of the great professors of today marvel at the Egyptian Empire, The Novi, the prophet, was able to see a little deeper. He says that was not an empire of people. That was an empire of donkeys and horses. He said, Besorim besar hamori. Their flesh is the flesh of donkeys, Vizera kizera susim. And their seed is the seed of horses. Why did he say that? He said it because man is not an animal. An animal is an animal because he is created from the earth. He is created physical. And it does not say by him, Vayipach ba'apov nishmas chayim, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu blew into him a soul from above. So it's not an insult to call a donkey or a horse a horse. But a man was given a soul from above. And they overpower that soul with enormous physical forces, deviations from norms, as they went and they were drawn only after their physical desires and lusts, and they were not elevated to the soul that HaKadosh Baruch Hu placed in people. So this great empire, the prophet said, Hare besorim kibsar hamorim, Bizarum kizerasusi. The flesh is the flesh of donkeys. And I noticed he said donkeys. The donkey's name is a chamor. And chamor comes from the word chomer. Chomer means physical matter, because the donkey is more physical than all of the other animals. And this is why he moves so slowly. But for him, that's a compliment, because he was made that way for a purpose. He's the pack animal. He can carry more longer distances than any other animal. But when man becomes that way, that's devastation. So therefore, the Egyptians had turned themselves into a nation of men that were actually animals. And physical animals. So they were at the level of physical creations. The waters is a wonderful creation, but also physical. And the water is actually all physical matter. For that reason, it cannot hold any form. Wherever you put it, it falls. It will fall merely through the force of gravity. So it's the weakest of all physical matters. And therefore, there's a great equation between the Egyptians and between the waters. Israel is just the opposite. Israel, who come from the perfection of Yaakov Avinu, and Yaakov was the Ish Tam, perfect person of Kiddush, of sanctity, which is the elevation of man from the physical to the spiritual. We're not that the physical smothers the spirit, but the spirit rules over the physical. They were just the opposite. So from the fact that they became free of this nation, and eventually they were to rise even above the powers of the enormous physical force of all of the waters in the world, This is all one direction, all one mahalach. This was all part of the geula, of the redemption of Klal Yisrael. So therefore, they started by freeing themselves from Egypt. And even though the geula, the Chazal tell us, was enormous, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu would not have taken us out of Egypt, we and our children and children's children would still be mishubodim, enslaved. But they went to even greater heights, free themselves from the dominion of other people, but even to free themselves from the forces of physical nature. By Boku Hamayim, that the waters could not hold their own, could not stand in front of them. But from the fact that Yisrael were coming, the waters had to go contrary to their nature and to move away. It is because of this, this depth and insight that the sages saw in the splitting of the sea started them to ponder with what counterforce, what quality did the Bnei Yisrael have that even the forces of physical nature of the world could not stand in front of them. Therefore they went to search for reasons. Let us see if now we can understand a little better in some of the reasons which they mention. First we said a reason was given. Remeya Eimer, Odim Yochidi Osisi Yam Yabosho. Hashem said that if I made for a single man dry land into sea into dry land, as it states, Yikova Amayim Viseiroya Hayabosho, La Adas Kadoshim Al Achas Kama Vakama. So for my sanctified community, how much more so? HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in this world, we find two forces. One is the force of Teva, of nature, Mother Nature as we refer to it, the laws of the physical universe. And then there's a second force, and that's the Maila Elokus, the spirit of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. These are the two forces that are in the world. What is stronger? For sure, the spirit of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is stronger than the physical forces of the universe, because he is the one who created these forces and he rules them. So therefore, he for sure is stronger. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, it states that the waters covered the entire world. Then he commanded the waters to separate in order that dry land should appear. For what purpose? For the purpose of Yishuva Olam, in order that man who he was implanting in the world would have a place to live. This itself was a miracle. We never think of it this way. We take it for granted that the seas are in the ocean and the land is on the earth. But we should know this itself is a miracle. Because according to the laws of nature, our sages tell us, the seas have the force to cover the entire world. And this is how it was at the beginning of time. It states that the waters covered the world. This was physical nature of water. One can ask the question, why do the seas stop where they do? When you come to a great ocean, every man knows, don't fool with the ocean. The greatest forces in the world cannot contend with the forces of the ocean. And he sees the raging waters, which are thousands and thousands of feet deep. And he sees the great currents, which no human force can stop those currents. And he sees the waves of the sea, which rise up 10, 20, 30, 40 feet. And all of a sudden, the sea stops. And you have dry land. What causes the sea to stop in these places? Scientists give an answer. Well, the land is higher than the sea. Maral writes, in his time, scientists had difficulty with this. The Chazal tell us it's not because the land is higher than the sea. It's not, as scientists say. But they stop because HaKadosh Baruch Hu garbay. HaKadosh Baruch Hu shouted at the sea. And he said, this is where you will stop. Yikovu ha-mayim v'seiroha ha-yabosho. Pull yourself back. I have made boundaries. Your domain is there up to here, and further you are not granted permission to go. And had HaKadosh Baruch Hu not given that command at the creation of the world, then the seas would have followed their own physical nature to cover everything. The fact is, the Maral makes a good observation. He sees that all of the elements, it is their nature to be makif, to cover the entire world. The air covers the entire world. The gases cover the entire world. And so would have the waters. So that itself was a kriya shamsu, was a splitting of the sea. And why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu do it? Because he said, the sea is here to serve me. I'm not here to serve the sea. And my spirit I gave to man. And therefore man's survival comes before the sea's survival. And therefore he told the sea, Yikova ha-mayim, he shouted, go back. V'seiroa yabosho, and let the earth be seen, in order that man who I have given to him, my tzelem elokim, my image, should have a place to live. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu said simply, he says, why did the sea split? Im la'odem yechidi, if I do this for one man, so certainly I'm going to do this for Adas Kedoshim, for my sanctified community, Klal Yisrael. So it was the spirit of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in man that caused the seas to split. Another opinion, Bishvil Avraham, because of Avraham. This also is very deep. Avraham was the first, again the same principle. Avraham was the first who mastered the spirit of Hashem that was given to him over the body, over the physical forces. Till now, till Avraham's time, everyone was carried away. Everyone was led away, led astray. The first one to perfect Ma'alelekis, the level of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in man, the spirit over man's body, was Abraham Avinu. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu asor nishenes nisal Abraham. HaKadosh Baruch Hu tested him with 10 tests to bring him to this level. And what was the greatest test of all? When he said, Kaches Bincha, Yechidecho, take your son, Eshichitcho, your only son, Yitzchok, the one you love, and bring him to as a sacrifice to me. Now, if we follow the nature of man, then this is something that is totally contrary to nature. You don't take your son and the one that you love and give him away entirely to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So physical nature dictated that he should not do this. By Avraham it states, Vayashkim Avraham Baboker. The next morning he got up early and he saddled his donkey. And Vayvake Atze Olo. And he went and he split the wood himself. Even though Avraham had many, many servants. But still he did it himself. Why? Because the love for HaKadosh Baruch Hu was so great. Ahava mikal keles es ashura, the Gemara says. His love for HaKadosh Baruch Hu was so great, he wanted to do it himself. Now here, this was all contrary to physical man. Physical forces in the universe dictate that he shouldn't do it at all. And if he does do it, he should stall for time. And finally, when it is done, he should do it very reluctantly. And he should let others do it. No. But Abraham mastered and rose above the physical force. And it's interesting that it states he split the wood. The wood was physical. And what force was splitting that wood? It wasn't physical force, it was spiritual force that was splitting that wood. That was the spirit in Avraham that was splitting that wood. And it says, Vayboku Hamayim, the water split, physical water split. And the Gemara learns very well that just like over there, it was the spiritual mastership of Avraham that split that wood. Here was the spirit again that was splitting the wood. It was Bezchus Avraham. It was through the merit of Abraham that was found in the Bonim in Yisrael that split these waters. And just like that wood was to bring himself closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so was it here. Medrash brings another term, Bezchus Hamila. This also has great depth in it. Mila, and also the similar principle. The Bris Mila is a mitzvah to do what? To change the physical nature of man. To change the physical makeup of man. Man is created physically one way, and then we have a mitzvah to change that physique. And it was given on the eighth day. In the Rabbi, eighth day. Why? Because the mitzvah comes to change what was created in 7 days. Physical world was created during the Shiva Shemei Bereshis, 7 days. Now this mitzvah comes to change it. Therefore, it is a higher level. It's the eighth. This teaches us that the mitzvahs that a person does is a higher force than the physical nature of man. Because the physical nature of man comes from the 7 days of creation. And mitzvahs come from an eighth day. This is true with any mitzvah. But mitzvahs milah in particular. Because all mitzvahs come from Torah, which is higher. It preceded the creation of the world. But especially true with mitzvahs milah. Why? Because mitzvahs milah, firstly, as we mentioned, you are physically changing the way man was born. A mitzvah comes and alters the physical creation. But there's another reason also. What is the purpose of the bris milah? It is called a bris, a covenant, bris kodesh. It is called a covenant of sanctity. Because through this, man enters into the covenant that was made between Hashem and Abraham and his children. And man implants in himself and enshrines in himself a bris kodosh, a sanctity. So not only is he physically altering what nature created, but also he's spiritually altering what nature created. Because nature created physical forces, and he is adding sanctity to those physical forces. And this is the bris kodesh. Before, he was a physical force, and now he gives sanctity to that physical force. And through this, Israel sanctify all of the forces, enormous forces, which are found in physical man. Now this is why all mitzvahs come to add to nature, but bris milah in particular. This is what distinguishes, as we said before, man from animal. Because animal also is a creation. Animal is created from the earth. Man is created from the earth. Animal has enormous forces in him, and so does man. But man distinguishes himself by altering and by sanctifying and by elevating that physical nature into forces of kedusha, of sanctity. Therefore, he said, very good. He says, "Bishus hamilo." Because why should the waters move aside for Egypt? The waters could say, I'm only physical, you're also only physical. You're a nation of animalistic desires. So why should I move aside for you? But when Klal Yisrael came, and Klal Yisrael represents this bris milah, then the water said that something else. We are physical. But you have the mila, you have the level of the spiritual force which is coming to alter and add to that physical, then we have to move away. And this is what we did. From this that we've mentioned so far, we see the formula. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created enormous physical forces in the world. This is nature. And he created spiritual forces in the world. And this spiritual force from himself he gave to man. And particularly to Israel that accepted it. And physical nature moves aside for no one. But for the spirit, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, or this force that he implanted in man, then it must move away. This is what we saw at the Kriyas Yamsuf. And this was the mila, the level that Klal Yisrael acquired not only of a geula, not only of a freedom from Egypt, but a freedom from physical world, physical forces in the world. From here there's an insight. What happens if man does not rise to this level, but he sinks to the level of donkeys and horses like Egypt? Their nature doesn't move aside, but nature domineers him. And not only will nature domineer him, but nature will crush him and destroy him. And this is what we saw. Because at one hand it states that Yisrael went through the sea on the dry land, and the same sea that moved aside from Yisrael went and totally destroyed Egypt. And this is what we find when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world. He shouted at the sea and he said, "Move aside. I didn't create the world for the sea. I created it for my man. Move aside so there should be land where he can live." But why? Why does man take precedence over the sea? Because the sea is merely physical. But man has the mile of Hashem, the level of Hashem in him. But what happens when man lost that level? What happened in the early generations when man also became like animals? And it says Vishiches, the entire Hishchis as Darkum, the entire world fell to promiscuity or to chomos, to theft. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, the sea is coming with a good complaint. Why should we move aside? So he said, let the waters come. And the waters came and covered the earth. And there's no doubt that this is why in our times, when we're supposed to be enlightened and out of the Dark Ages, but really we've gone back to the Dark Ages, where man has turned himself into an animal again, where the world is full of chomos, of theft. People are complaining, there's no morals anymore, there's no honesty anymore. Where the world is full of shfichas domim, of bloodshed. Where the world is full of promiscuity. And we're complaining that we see so many natural disasters. There's not a day that goes by. You don't really read about a hurricane, or a typhoon, or a cyclone, or an earthquake, or a volcano, or whatever it might be, or disease, or AIDS, or whatever it might be. There is no doubt that this is the reason. Because man has the ability to stand up against nature if he's greater than nature. But when he becomes smaller than nature, the nature becomes greater than him, and it ravages him. And this, tragically, is what we're seeing today. Then another opinion. Bishush Yosef. It was through the merit of Yosef. This also is following the same formula. What was the greatness of Yosef? Yosef was Yosef HaTzadik. He was the righteous. Why was he called Yosef HaTzadik? Because he was capable of withstanding all influences of the physical world and still not deviate to the right or to the left, but always remained at perfect center. He was exposed to slavery. He was sold as a slave. He was thrown into the dungeon of Egypt. He was exposed to the great luxuries of the court, to enormous wealth, which always distorts and spoils people. Unequal power he was exposed to. He became more powerful than the mighty Paro himself, the Gemara tells us. And yet, when Yaakov was reunited with Yosef, he said, "Omda Bitzitkoi, this is my Yosef, who used to learn Torah with me in my home." And not only that, but Ephraim and Manasseh, Reuven, Shimon, and Yuli, Ephraim and Manasseh also, his sons, are perfect. And the greatest test that he had was this, that the Gemara brings the constant enticement. It states every day, the wife of his master would come to entice him. It says, "Begodim shelofsha shachris leilofsha avris," what she dressed in the morning, she didn't wear in the evening. What she wore in the evening, she didn't wear in the morning. And still Yosef would not move. He was constantly fighting against the forces of nature in the world. Evayonas hachutza. And he overpowered them by running back. And this quality he gave over to his sons. And when they were coming through the sea, and Yosef, his casket was there, the sea said, "We better move out of the way, because they are greater than we are." And just as Yosef rose up to rule over Egypt, so did the children rise up to rule over Egypt. We don't have time to go through all of the opinions that we mentioned. So we'll just conclude with one final opinion. And that was the Schus of Amuna. But the sages said it was the Schus of the trust and belief that Klal Yisrael had in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What does that mean? Also, the same formula. Someone who believes in himself then is no greater than he himself, is limited to himself. Someone who believes, the Gemara tells us, in 18 Vavonim, in wood and stone. How is it possible a person should live in wood and stone? How we see? They build themselves wooden idols or stone idols, and they worship them. Einayim v'lehem v'leyiru, they have eyes they cannot see. They have ears they cannot hear, and a mouth they cannot speak. The Gemara tells us that their naseh, they become like that what they serve. Those who are dovak, those that cleave to idols of stone and wood, become like the idols of stone and wood. They have eyes and ears and a mouth, but they can't see or hear or speak. Those that believe in themselves and totally trust themselves become like themselves. From here we can come to the conclusion that those that believe that man came from an ape become no greater than the apes that they think they came from, which is a reality. Because a naim v'lehem v'lo yiro, because when you look at the world, you don't have to be a great scientist. Even a layman. The Gemara tells us, Kol chachmei ha'oretz, You bring all of the wise of the world together. And one ant or fly they will not create. We've sent rockets to the moon and we've made microchips. But one ant or fly we have not created. So who created it then? It created itself. And this we're talking about an ant. They have eyes and they can't see. They have ears and they can't hear. The solar system. The solar system. Which beholds secrets that cannot be comprehended by the human mind. Scientists thought that when we get ultra-modern sophisticated equipment, we will understand the solar system. And now it was written that after they have all of this equipment, they have said, we understand far less than we thought that we understood. Everything we see, today it's written, everything that we can see, it is estimated to be 1% of what exists in the solar system. And I was speaking just the other Shabbos with Professor Yavin, Gidon's father. He's a professor of mathematics, electronics. He said, today, the scientific community that is interested in searching for the truth, has a joke. They say that to be an evolutionist, you have to have great bitoch, great emunah, great faith. Because there is certainly no scientific foundation for it. But then how? How is it possible? You open a book, every time you open a book, they tell you how many millions of years we've evolved from apes. That's what the Chazal tell us. Because when you cleave to something, those that worshipped wood and stone become wood and stone. And those that worship apes become apes. They have eyes, but they cannot see, and they have ears, but they cannot hear. Now, so is it with the contrary. Mi shemaimin, but he who believes in he who said, let the world be, then they rise up to the level of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They bind themselves to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they become like he himself. And therefore, when they came to the sea and they believed what was going to happen, Moshe said, we must leave Egypt and we must go into the desert. And they knew there was no food there or no water. And they knew there were wild animals there. Nechoshim v'akrabim. Snakes and scorpions, and no man can live in the wilderness like that. And they knew there was a sea. They said, let's go, we will follow you. They believed. They believed in Hashem and in Moshe. And they came to enormous heights. Rosa Shivcha Lalayom, these maidservants saw on the sea more than Yecheskel Ben Buzi. This emunah brings one to great heights. And if one is at that height, then he is greater than nature. And nature must move aside for him. So this is what is said, b'schus emunah, with the schus of the great emunah. It's interesting that on this point that we mentioned, I saw from the Telzer Rosh Yeshiva, I go under Rebbe Yemeir, Zecher Tzadik Livrocho. He brings a Ramban. The Ramban asks the question, We read, Vayirdufu Mitzrayim, Vayavo Achareim Kol Sus Parei Rich, Vayeforosh Veltech Hayom. When the sea split, and Parei saw the dry land, he took his whole army in force, and went into the dry land to follow Klal Yisrael. But the man asked a good question, was Parei a shaiter? Was he a fool? If you go to the Indian Ocean, and you see a miracle for Klal Yisrael, and the waters are piled up hundreds or thousands of feet in the air, would you dare follow them into the sea? Yet he took, and his whole nation followed him into the sea. What did he expect? Didn't he have eyes? This is what the Ramban asks. So the Ramban answers what we said. He says, "Hoyarotz in the fun of his boach levaki ayom beruach kodim yavosho." Akorish Borchu, when he split the sea, he didn't appear all of a sudden where everyone could see him, and he moved the waters aside. He did it through a strong east wind that blew the whole night. Why? Because the greatest miracles that Akorish Borchu does, the maimin, the one that believes him, we'll see it. A maimon sees enormous miracles in an ant, in an apple. The late Reb Simcha Wasserman once said, he says, "I'm not sure if scientists will ever be able to create an apple. Maybe one day they will. But one thing I'm sure of, they'll never be able to create an apple that can endlessly recreate itself. That I'm certain of." Now we're talking about an apple. The believer, in every part of creation, he sees the hand of Hashem. The kafir, the one who denies HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you can bring the greatest miracles in front of his face, but einayim lahem v'layiro, he won't see. You can show him the greatest miracles of the solar system and he'll give you some type of bodhimaisa. This was once said over to, we're discussing it, to Warren's father, who's a Supreme Court judge. Now, a judge goes by facts. He said, such a bodhimaisa, he says, will never be accepted in his court. Someone comes and tells him in his courtroom, this is how it came about. But the greatest minds will believe it. This is what the Ramban says. He says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu bedafka split the sea with a wind. Israel would have no problem. They see. Vayar, it doesn't say they saw the wind. It says, Vayar hayod hagdola. They saw the great hand of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Where was the hand of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Yisrael said, "Well, you're a shaiter. The wind is the hand of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Don't you have eyes?" But Parei and his whole army and nation, they said it was the wind. And then he asked, the Chazal say that the sea was split, l'gzorim, into 12 sections. So there was a separate section for every shevet, every tribe to go through. Didn't it occur to Parei that the wind doesn't split a sea into 12 sections? She says, when you don't want to believe, you don't believe. It's certainly easier for a wind to split a sea into 12 sections than to say that the greatest phenomena of nature happened by chance. He says, it was the wind. Come, let's go. And he said, this is what is said in the Pasuk, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it says, Yovi kodim ruach Hashem ve'yovesh mekerei ve'yechra ma'inoi hisgil mitzrayim ve'yovdei. Let HaKadosh Baruch Hu bring a wind to blow the sea away, and this will make Egypt, inflate Egypt, and will bring Egypt up high in order to destroy them. From here we see what the Chazal say Tzaddikim, this is what Rebbe Yirmiyahu writes, Tzaddikim, libam bishusam, v'shoim bishus libam. The righteous, their hearts are in their own control, the control of the man. The wicked, they are in control of their hearts. They don't see. They see what they want to see. They see what their hearts want them to see. Einayim v'lehem v'lo yirohu. But Klal Yisrael that had emunah, so the sea moved aside. So from here we understand, firstly, what the great Kriyas Yamsuf was, and why Chazal went to search for the reasons, because this was a case where a world was moving from them. Kol Mayim Sheba'olam, all of the waters in the world, in what schus, and we see that the struggle of man over nature, it's not a physical struggle. At the physical level, man is no match, as we see. He's no match for nature. At the spiritual level, then nature is no match. And this has been the foundation of Klal Yisrael and the survival of Klal Yisrael. That physically speaking, they should have disappeared from the earth ages ago. But this has been the survival of Klal Yisrael from the Geulas Mitzrayim. And this is why the Medrash tells us. It's a Medrash in Yalkut. The Yalkut at the beginning of Shmos, it states, why are Klal Yisrael called Ivri? We are known as Ivri. Hebrews, where does that come from? In the Torah it's mentioned by Yosef, he was called an Ivri. Me'ever Layam. So many say, or Me'ever Hanor, because they came from the other side of the river, or the other side of the sea. The Medrash says no. He says that's not the Pshat. They were called Ivri from the name. It was evidently predestined from before for something that was going to happen later. Ivri Ovar Yam. They were called Ivri because they were to cross the sea. Hashem Meir Ala Etzem. Names tell us exactly what the essence is. And the greatness of Klal Yisrael, the Nekuda HaNiflo, the main central point of Klal Yisrael, was that they were capable of Ovar Yam, to cross the sea, to rise up where they could rule physical forces of the world. This was the Geulas Mitzrayim, the Shichra. This was the Chag Cheruseinu. We should all be zeicher to have a Chag Pesach Kosher V'Sumeach and a Chag Cheruseinu. We should see Geula and Yeshua for Klal Yisrael b'mheira b'yomeinu.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information, or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085 and via post at PO Box 66226 Broadway 2020 Johannesburg, South Africa.